and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness. A priest had been appointed to a new parish in the Midwest, a country parish full of farms. In order to get to know his parishioners, he decided to visit those who had farms. One property particularly impressed him. Everything about it was first rate. The animals, the crops, the buildings, even the fences. Everything was near perfect. He remarked to the farmer that God had truly blessed him with such a beautiful property. The farmer had a smile on his face. "Oh yes, we are grateful, very grateful, Father," he said. "But of course, we've been here 25 years. You should have seen it when God had it all to himself." Our lives are rather like that. Each of us has the gift of our life from God. What we are is a reflection of what we have done with that gift and what we are still doing with it. And so Lent is a time to take stock of that gift of our life, to look again at the gift God has given us and how we are using it. It was the same for our Lord when he went into the wilderness for those 40 days. Straight from his baptism, when Jesus heard the voice of our Father say, "Thou art my beloved Son," he goes into 40 days of prayer and fasting in the wilderness near Jerusalem. He does this not only to contemplate who he really is, but what sort of life lies ahead of him. What is he going to do with this gift of his life? Like that Midwest farmer, he now has to consider what to do with this gift, for on it depends the redemption of mankind. 40 days in the wilderness. Lent is the church's imitation of Jesus' 40 days of prayer and fasting. And of course, as we come to Mass on this first Sunday, there is something rather stark that confronts us. The church is less bright and beautiful in appearance. The music is more subdued. Well, that's difficult at High Mass, but the Mass setting's more subdued and we sing less. No flowers, no Gloria. And perhaps we, if we have started Lent seriously, are also less bright and more subdued. Because, you know, this emphasis on fasting, it can seem a little dreary sometimes. Here we are on the fifth day of Lent, and I'm already thinking of chocolate and a drink. And when I walk to the church, or when I walk back from the church home in the afternoons, the cooking smells from the local restaurants are a sore test. In fact, when we think about it, for years people have been saying that instead of giving things up, instead of this fasting and almsgiving, instead of doing those things, Christians should be taking things on. It seems to have been the mantra in the church for a couple of decades now. Forget about giving up, take something on. That's well and good, but it seems to me it's part of that modern trend to make religion easy and more happy-clappy than serious. In actual fact, the problem is that we do take things on. We take things on all the time. People work longer hours and have less spare time with their families because it's tough and people want to accumulate more wealth and possessions. Meanwhile, unemployment is still at that record high. And we all eat and drink far too much. Meanwhile, in Haiti, the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," has a difficult ring to it. And not only that, there are more gadgets to amuse us, more choices in the stores and supermarkets, more things to do to entertain us, more things to tempt us. So you see, the world has been taking on things rather than giving up for a long time. I say enough of taking things on. Enough of more on. Let's go back to the spirit of Lent and do give up things. Self-denial, self-sacrifice, ancient traditional words. And of course, self-sacrifice is not a popular part of our culture. Once again, the true Christian faith, the tradition we receive, is countercultural, as it usually is. It does not fit in with the world's trends to be self-sacrificing. Well, the world is all about more for the self, not less. And yet our Lord said, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And he didn't say just for the 40 days of Lent, it was the lifestyle he offered to those who follow him. A far different contrast to the lifestyle of our world. It's certainly not trendy or politically correct to practice self-denial. And yet it is part of modern life, self-denial. People go without some food in order to lose weight. Many go to gym or do jogging and often punish their bodies so they will be more fit or more beautiful or less old. Others sacrifice their individuality in order to fit in at work or in a group. And I think our teenagers are perhaps the best example of that. They all look alike, dress alike, and talk a language which most of us don't understand. I often think how sad it is that they repress their individuality to be accepted. So, you see, self-sacrifice does come into the world's play, but it's not like Christian self-sacrifice. For to the world, Christian self-sacrifice seems to have no purpose or no good result. To the Christian, of course, anything done in self-sacrifice for God is never without purpose or a waste, because ultimately it's an offering to God, an offering for his gift to us of our lives. For instance, we worship God purely because he is God and deserving of our worship, not because we want to feel good, though hopefully that is always an outcome. And we pray not to manipulate God, though so often our prayers are a cry for his help, but we pray because he is our friend, and that's how we remain his friend. And we give our offerings not because this is our church, but because it's God's church. And so there's no aim or result for us necessarily, because Christian self-sacrifice has a higher principle and plane. Above all, Christians practice self-denial because the world is focused on self, and we need to challenge that by the way we live, and Lent looms up again to remind us of that. Our Lord's call to follow him is drowned out by worldly commercialization and a focus on what we need to have, though mostly it's not what we truly need, is it? So just as when the farmer applied himself, worked hard, made some self-sacrifices, the results showed up in his fine property, yet 25 years before he started out with no more than opportunity and potential, something we all have too, and something offered to us again this Lent, opportunity and potential. Lent is God's gift to us for a season that we may rejoice in the resurrection at Easter. Maybe as God's gift to us, as traditional Episcopalians and Christians, our response to that gift is to remind the church of the true heart of Lent. And again, we certainly need to contemplate Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.